Dear friends in Christ, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May we always dwell in this land with respect and peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence. Give us pure hearts and constant wills to worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
In lecture to prophet Isaiah, a reading from the prophet Isaiah. Ainsi parle le Seigneur, le roi d'Israël, celui qui le rachète, le Seigneur de l'univers. C'est moi le premier, c'est moi le dernier. En dehors de moi, pas de Dieu. Qui est comme moi? Qu'il prenne la parole, qu'il annonce ce qu'il en est et me le développe depuis que j'ai établi le peuple du passé. Qu'il dise les choses qui arriveront et celles qui viendront, qu'on nous les annonce. Ne frémissez pas, ne craignez pas, ne te l'ai-je pas laissé entendre et annoncer depuis longtemps? Ne m'en êtes-vous pas témoin? Y a-t-il un Dieu en dehors de moi? Assurément, il n'existe aucun rocher dont je n'aurai pas connaissance. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
letter of Paul to the Romans. So then, brothers and sisters, we are obligated not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning together as it suffers together the pains of labor. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we will wait for it with patience. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
God be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Creator sets free told the people another story. He said, Creator's good road from above is like a man who scattered good seed in his garden. But during the night, while his family slept, an enemy sneaked in and scattered bad seeds in with the good ones. When the plants began to grow, the weeds also grew with them. When the family's garden workers saw the weeds, they said to the man, "Honored one, did you not plant good seeds in your garden? Where did these weeds come from?" The man answered, "An enemy has done this." "Should we go and dig out the weeds?" the workers asked. "No," the man said. "They are too hard to tell apart now. You might dig out the good plants with the bad. Wait and let them grow together until it is time for the harvest. At that time, I will tell the workers, 'First, go and gather the weeds into bundles for burning. Then gather the grain into my storehouse.'" When he was finished, Creator sets free, left the crowd, and went into the house where they were staying. The ones who walked the road with him went in with him and asked, "Tell us the meaning of the story about the good and bad seeds in the garden." "The true human being is the one who plants the good seeds," he answered. "The garden is all the nations of the world. The good seeds are the children of the good road. The weeds are the children of the worthless ways of the world, and the enemy who plants the bad seeds is the evil one. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the helpers are spirit messengers. Then, when this age ends, the weeds will be gathered together and burned in the fire. The true human being will send his messengers to remove the stumbling stones from the good road, along with all who hold onto their bad-hearted ways. They will be gathered into bundles and used to feed the fire of a great oven. There they will weep many tears and grind their teeth together in anger and frustration. Then the ones who are in good standing will shine like the sun in the land of the Father's good road. The ones with ears should hear and understand." The Gospel of Christ.
May I speak to you of our loving Creator. Amen. Have you ever heard the expression, caught in the weeds? It came to my mind as I've been reading this parable over the past week where Jesus is so hard on the weeds. And I feel sympathy for the weeds, so I'm going to make a case of their defense. And this one goes all the way back to when I first had a newspaper route. I think I was in grade 8. And each week I would deliver the newspapers, and then I would go on Saturday to the office of the Recorder and Times in Brockville to hand over the money. And all the paper girls would come with their wad of money, and we would get to keep the difference. And so it was around $10 a week. And then I would go to the bookstore and look at the books. So I bought this book about edible wild plants. And the introduction was a spirited defense of weeds, because how dare we call them that? It's just a matter of opinion. So I had this book, and it had pictures in it, and I decided I was going to do this. And so I went out and I picked these wild plants, and my mother conspired with me to call them spinach, and she cooked them. And the book instructed, boil them once and then put in a change of water. So you can imagine the green mush that we ate disguised as spinach. The phrase caught in the weeds isn't about that. It's about being distracted by details from the main thing. So for example, let's say you're doing a presentation and you go off on some tangent and nobody's listening anymore. You got caught in the weeds. Or let's say you're doing your presentation and someone asks a question that's totally irrelevant. And you go off somewhere to answer that question. Or you say very nicely, let's just park that thought right now because I want to make sure you get the main idea. And sometimes it happens to us that we get caught in the weeds because we're busy with life, or we're bogged down, or we enjoy the subject so much we want to tell everyone all about it. And they, in their incredible patience, they listen, and maybe they got the main idea, or maybe it was buried in there somewhere. Now, apparently, this is not an old expression, but people don't agree on where it came from. So some say it comes from the Prohibition era, you know, when they were hiding the alcohol. Or maybe it's from the game of golf, because you're going down the fairway and your ball. And others say it comes from this internet discussion website, Quora, where people discuss things and, you know, go off on tangents. And it's become kind of a cliche to talk about being caught in the weeds. You know, it's the same kind of thing as fit as a fiddle, or love at first sight, or did the cat get your tongue? Some people like to say these phrases. And other people don't like them at all, maybe because their teacher said you can't use those in an essay. You got to use proper words. So, in Jesus's parable, if we work with what the good seeds are and what the bad seeds are, I think the hearers are supposed to make the assumption that they're good seeds. That, you know, the other people are weeds, right? So you're one of the good seeds that Jesus has sown, but you're distracted because life is complicated, or you have too many other things you're paying attention to. That would be a great take home from this story, that you got caught in the weeds and you got to figure out, you know, what your priority really is. Unfortunately, that's not the meaning Jesus gives to the story, and I don't like the meaning that he gives. So let's say you're a good seed. Does that mean that the people you find to be a trial are bad seeds sown by the enemy? Do you really want to think about people that way? I actually want to think that people are basically good, but sometimes they're behaving badly, and you got to work with that. And so Jesus's negative on here really is a struggle for me. Like, who lives like that, assuming that the people they don't like are from the devil? Well, I guess potentially you can think like that because there are horrible things happening in the world. I remember maybe 10 years ago there was this book in the window by Madeleine Albright, Fascism, A Warning. And we live in a different time now. It seems like it's beyond being a warning, and we can actually speak about how ideology can be truly evil, how it can be cult-like, and how it persuades some people. But I do not experience myself to be in any setting where there are people like that who are choking me like weeds. And maybe it's just that we live in our networks, so I don't meet them. You know, you might go to a soccer game if you can afford it, or you might go to a concert, and there'll be people who think very differently from you, but you're probably not engaging with them. I live in my little network of people who are basically good people in a gated good people community. And so I'm not challenged personally by people who have really opinions contrary to mine. And it made me wonder, did Jesus really live in times like that? Is that why he told it this way, that he lived in times of that much conflict? So one suggestion of the interpreters is that Matthew's early church did live in a time of conflict like that. In their church congregation, there were people of such strong and differing opinions. And this is the congregation that took the sayings of Jesus and wrote them down. And so, of course, they saved the ones that were most useful to them, including one about conflict because they were having some. And the theory is that Matthew's early church was as full of conflict as a wheat field might be with weeds. And this actually makes the solution interesting. Don't pull the weeds out. You might accidentally pull up some good wheat plants. In other words, don't push out the people you don't like. Let God's judgment at the end of time deal with that. That's not to be your concern. Deal with relating to people, even if they're difficult. When we have the lectionary, it kind of comes together where the readings converge around a theme. And so you can hear this echoed in the reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, where he talks about how we are to have patience. He says, "I consider the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is about to be revealed to us. The creation waits with eager longing. We know the whole creation is groaning as it suffers. And we wait for adoption, and we wait with patience." So if people are trying your patience, you know, you go with it, because we're a community, and let God work that other stuff out. So it sounds like a negative on weeds, but if you say, all right, it's really an allegory, let me let go of those weeds that we cooked as vegetables. Let's talk about that what the allegory is about. It's the patience you might have with people you don't really see eye to eye with. But to go back to the original turn of phrase that I really liked about getting caught in the weeds, this is also a parable about figuring out what is the main thing? What is the main thing for you so that you don't get lost in the weeds of other people's opinions, so that you keep the main thing that's important to you? Now, there are lots of self-help strategies. You can find them readily on the internet. I found one that the title of the blog was How to Get Out of the Weeds as a Leader. And you can imagine the kinds of things it had. So there's a step back and look at what your priorities are. There's the 80-20 rule. Identify the 20% of your tasks that give you 80% results and spend more time on those. So there's lots of good advice about, you know, sticking to your priorities, sticking to the good seed, and not letting the weeds choke you. And that brings us maybe to a question we could each take away. Do you have a main thing that you're working on? Do you have distractions, willing and unwilling ones, that are keeping you from doing that main thing? So this is a very individualized interpretation, right? This is about you personally. Do you have a main thing that you're working on, and not to let it get lost among the other competing things? But we're also a community. A community of many textures and interests and priorities. And so today already you've had the smudging and the First Nations gospel. You've had other beautiful singing. You have all these different readings. We're in the middle of a series on the book Encampment. So we're thinking about people who are homeless and what solutions we might have. There's a lot going on in the community. And maybe for you then the challenge is to say, I love some of this stuff, and I'm going to sink myself fully into it. But I have to keep hold on what's the main thing for me in my life. And we as a church community, we do this too. We, at our annual meeting, at our parish councils, in sermons, we talk about what is our calling. Let's keep in mind what we're called to. And we do a whole bunch of things, but somehow we come back again and again to say, how is God calling me now? In this celebration of the bread and the wine, we experience Jesus calling us to be like the bread of life to the world, to be the ones who love our neighbors, to be the ones who love God. In your individual priorities and in what we choose together. It's a beautiful thing to have other people with other priorities around us. Maybe it's distracting sometimes, but a lot of the times it reminds you to say, how's God calling me today? Amen.
Trusting in God's steadfast love and mercy, let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all in need, saying, Lord, hear our prayer. Eternal God, we thank you for calling us by name. In you we live and move and have our being. We pray for Christians throughout the world, and we pray to be reminded of our common foundation in Christ. May we grow together in faith and love until we attain that unity which is your will. Let us pray to the Lord. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love, and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time, all nations and races may serve you in harmony. Teach us to love people just as they are, and embrace their identity fully, as you have embraced us. Let us pray to the Lord. We pray for the church, remembering Shane, our primate, Anne, our metropolitan, Catherine, our bishop, and all who minister at St. John's. We pray for all those who live precarious lives, who have no home, no land, no food, no work, no medical care, no peace, remembering especially people on whom war is raging. We pray for all those who are impacted by the wildfires across our country. And we pray for members of our community who are recovering from the recent catastrophic flooding in our region. Let us pray to the Lord. We pray for all those who are bowed down with sickness or grief, remembering especially all who are on our hearts and minds. May we recognize and serve Christ in the suffering and needy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We pray for our community. May it be one that promotes justice, fosters belonging, and builds solidarity. Lord, we thank you for the diversity of our community and the richness it brings to our society. Help us to celebrate our differences and to recognize the inherent dignity and worth of every individual. Let us pray to the Lord. Gracious God, we pray for those who have died in your peace, that they may sing your praises without ceasing for all eternity. And we pray for those who mourn. Let us pray to the Lord. Loving God, we pray that we may bear the fruit of your Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. Take firm root in our lives, so that we may lovingly serve and welcome all with no exceptions. Help us to live together in your love and shine as lights in the darkness to reveal your glory in the world. Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray.
Thank you.
to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Creator, the Christ, and the Comforting Spirit, be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.